Thank you. Next, we'll be led in our flag salute tonight by Adair Gomez. Adair is 11 years old and a sixth grade student at Grover Beach Elementary School. He is one of 10 peace leaders at Grover Beach Elementary. He is also a member of the Grover Beach Dance Troupe, an after-school program, and an honor roll student. His goals are to go to college, better the environment, and to help people live easier. Adair is also accompanied by his principal, Cynthia Fogarty, and his parents, Rosa, Lydia, and Carlos Gomez, and there's dad over there. His sister here this evening. Oh, okay. Then I don't have to try and pronounce her name. Thank you. Also, Adair is going to read his personal bio, which the school faxed to us. So is that a poem? Okay. So why don't we have the flag salute first and then let him read the bio? Okay, yeah, come forward, please.
Salute. Pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Adair, if you'd like to step up to the podium.
My name is Adair Gomez. I'm 11 years old and I live in Grover Beach. I care for many things. My family is important to me. I need good education to have a good career. The community is also something I care for. I care for my family. I have a dad, mom, and a sister. They have taken care of me since the day I was born. They are a great example to follow. We've had hard circumstances through our lives, but we've pulled through. I really love them. My education means a lot to me. My teachers have helped me to my goal, to go to college. My family helps me with my homework. If I have a problem at school that distracts me from my studies, my teachers and family will help me solve them. With my good grades, I want to have a good career. The community is another thing that I care about. I like helping the communities be a better place. When I grow up, I want my career to better the environment and help people live easier. My family, education, and the community are the few of the many things I care about.
There you go.
Adair, I have something I want to give you. I just want you to know that those are honorable goals, and I want to encourage you to continue to work hard, and I'm sure that you will be a success in whatever you choose to do. We want to give you a certificate of appreciation for leading us in the flag salute. Roll call.
Here.
Councilmember Eckbaum.
Here.
Councilmember Lieberman.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Versal.
Here.
And Mayor Scholes.
Here. This brings us to closed session announcements. On Monday, April 18, 2005, at the meeting in closed session regarding 1, conference with real property negotiators on property, which was assessor's parcel number 06031005. Agency negotiator was city manager. Negotiating party was Margaret M. Tanner and Sharon Tanner, and what was under negotiation was a location of a fence. There was a second item for closed session. This was conference with labor negotiator. Agency negotiator was the city manager, administrative services director, and the human resources coordinator. The represented employee group was general employees, SEIU, International Union Local 620. The third item that was in that closed session was a conference with legal counsel pending litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9A, Diamond versus City of Grover Beach. The council reconvened into public session. The following announcements were provided. In reference to closed session items number 1 and 3, no report or actions were taken. In reference to closed session item number 2, staff was directed to revise the list of negotiators authorized to represent the city in labor negotiations. The meeting was then adjourned.
If you're following along, we are now at our ceremonial calendar. There is none at this time. We now will move into presentations. We have one item on the agenda this evening, and this is presentation of the 2005 mosquito abatement in Grover Beach. This is Public Works Supervisor John Barclay and Maintenance Worker 2 Jim Thompson.
Honorable Mayor, City Council, John Barclay, Public Works Supervisor, and Jim Thompson, Maintenance 2. Do we have a clicker for that, or are you guys going to move
on?
Oh, great. Thank you. The city yearly plants about, this year we planted 6,000 mosquito fish. Their technical name is Gambosia. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. At the following locations for mosquito abatement: Meadow Creek, just north of AJ Spurs at the bridge, Meadow Creek at El Camino and at the 12th Street Bridge, Meadow Creek behind the bowling alley site, and Meadow Creek, the LeSage Bridge, Meadow Creek, Grand Avenue Bridge, Barca Lane Drainage Basin, and Pebble Lane Drainage Basin. We just split them up amongst the locations, and I've been told that these fish have 300 to 500 babies every month. Now, when we go out and visit these sites, we find that that's probably the case because there's just hundreds of them at each location from previous plantings. Their purpose is to eat mosquito larvae. I don't know if they can keep up, but we're sure giving it a good shot. And every year we plant these, we wait till the last strong rainfall so they don't get washed down. And you just acclimate them in the water and turn them loose, and they do quite well. Hopefully they're not raccoon food. But they only get to be about a couple inches long, and like I say, we see them. They're down there, so hopefully they're making a difference. I know this is a really big year for mosquitoes, so hopefully you know, this next planting, the last planting, will do some good. So that's just one of the things we do.
Thank you, John. Does anyone have any questions of John or Jim? Councilmember Eckbaum.
John, I had one. Are these fish available for the public if they have a fish pond in their backyard or anything to buy some themselves?
They are. At the risk of pumping a business, I shouldn't do that probably. But, yeah, you can get them at Wet Pets and probably any other garden spot. In fact, I think you can get them at nurseries as well. They'll deliver them.
I think that's important for the public to know that.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's something you could do at home if you have a pond in your backyard. One thing that I'd like to follow up on, I'm not sure what the county spraying policy is and whether we can kind of get involved in that. I don't know where we stand on that, and we'll be looking into that as well. They do spraying throughout the county, and we're definitely a candidate for that. Probably the whole county is, though, but might be worth looking into. Okay.
Mayor Pro Tem Versa.
Just one question. You mentioned the last planting that you did. Do you do it more than once?
Well, they came in 3,000 increments. So we were able to we planted 3,000 and then we did the other 3,000. But no, we usually plant one time.
One time in each location.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I'm very interested because my property backs up to Meadow Creek, and this time of year it's difficult to be out in the evening or the morning without getting eaten alive. And my understanding was that the county, their vector control is underfunded, and they were basically weren't doing much. Is that what you're hearing?
That's probably true. I hadn't really placed a call to them. I was going to do that just to see where they were on that. I know they pick areas out, I don't know, at random or maybe it's complaint driven. I'm not sure. I wanted to find out a little bit more about that. And I'm not sure what they're spraying either, so we need to find that out.
Well, thanks for your efforts. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You. Appreciate it.
Any questions to my left? Thank you, John. Jim. Right.
Thanks.
This brings us to public communications. on our agenda this evening. Any member of the public may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item within the jurisdiction of this council. The council will listen to all of your communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, we cannot take action on any items not on this agenda. Is there any member of the public who would like to come forward and address the council during public communications? Please step forward and state your name for the record.
Good evening. My name is Michael Amenta. I reside at 1755 Ocean Street in Oceano. I have a property in the Grover Beach area on Seabright, and I wanted to make a statement concerning the R2, any possible reinterpretation of the R2 zoning district. Section 9109.1 states, the purpose of the R2 zoning designation is to permit a density ranging from 6 to 9 units per gross acre. It appears that staff's new interpretation of the R2 zoning ordinances utilizes net acreage in its density calculations. This is a significant change for my project, which does meet the R2 density requirements. This is point one of 8 that are on this withdrawn appeal that was submitted and then withdrawn last Friday. Changes will be made by our attorney on it and then resubmitted to you, but I have made copies and would like you at this time to pass out them to the council members.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.
And again, I would just like to add that the 6 to 9 units for a 7,500 square foot lot, a 50 by 150 lot, which is probably the most common lot in Grover Beach, permitting two PUDs on it is correct when gross acreage is used, not net acreage. When gross acreage is properly applied, you may have heard some discussion that that two units cannot be put on a 7,500 square foot lot. And I would like you to back away from that statement and look at this afresh, because when you look at the definition, gross acreage definitely allows for two PUD units to be built on a 7,500 square foot lot. Past precedence is a good argument, but we're not, that's the last 9 years, has been the practice. But again, we want to, or tonight I would like to just reiterate that when gross acreage is used, two units can be put on a 7,500 square foot lot. Thank you.
Thank you for those comments. Is there anyone else who'd like to address the council this evening?
My name is Erin McLaughlin, and we also are arguing the issue of the PUD size requirement. We purchased 744 Seabright in Grover Beach in December 2004 and submitted for the application. During the due diligence period, we took our design to the staff, and they recommended that two single-story family unit structures could be put on this particular lot. We responded to comments from the planning staff on February 7th. At that point, there was no mention of any change in place. We then asked if we could submit to building simultaneously, and we were told that would be acceptable. At that time, we proceeded with construction documents and included several including structural engineering and preliminary grading and tentative parcel map. The project conforms to guest parking, fire sprinklers, as well as Part 40 common area developmental standards. We are asking the council to consider these zoning requirements as written and recommended by your staff. We are also asking the council to consider the dates of this application and the investment. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McLaughlin. Is there anyone else who'd like to address the council? Come forward. State your name for the record.
My name is Henry Mancini, and I'm a realtor with Century 21 Associates West and also an owner of a R2 property on 1742 Manhattan. I would just say I think precedence is very important in this particular issue. I bought this property with the intention in mind at some point to develop it into PUDs, and that was 2 years ago. I've also sold numerous properties in the last several years that clients were able to do 3,500 square foot PUDs, which is in the code, and I understand the conflict you're having with two separate parts of the code seeming to contradict each other. I think the issue is, as a realtor, what's driving prices in this area is space, and the PUD is absolutely the last bastion of affordable housing in this area. And if we take away the option for PUDs, we will have no affordable housing in Grover Beach, and it will just be impractical and impossible and won't pencil out for anyone to develop anything for less than $600,000 a house. And as I'm sure everyone is aware, even at the median price of $440,000 a house, most people in our county can't afford a house. And so I ask you to look at that, that we really do need PUDs to keep local folks working for oftentimes less than a living wage in this area to be able to have some kind of housing they can afford. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Anyone else? Please come forward.
My name is Carmen Green. I reside in Grover Beach. I have a business in Grover Beach, and I also have an R2 property in escrow. And it is all rumor. I'm actually not sure what the argument is, but I have built several R2 properties out over the last 5 to 10 years, and gross acreage has been used. And I have actually been denied PUD without the 3,500 square foot minimum lot size, but was able to use the gross acreage calculation to build additional units on a property. And it is and has always been my understanding, and the precedent has been that it is based on gross acreage. And in order, if you are to build PUDs, meaning split the lot, you have to have 3,500 square feet of property. And I think it would be very criminal to change that interpretation at this point. There are many people who have purchased properties at a very high number that would be devastated. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Come forward, state your name for the record.
Mayor and City Council members, my name is Jesse Lemus. I reside at 1384 Mentone Avenue. I'm here to speak in regards to the Brighton Street project that was denied by City Council on Monday, April 18th. I understand the concerns of these citizens and applaud their efforts to keep their quality of life. I live in a triplex with a deep driveway. I have a two-car garage and cannot park two cars due to the fact that the driveway is not wide enough to negotiate a sharp turn into my garage. If I had another car, I would have to park it in the street, thus creating parking congestion. I also live next to a four-unit apartment complex that is about 10 feet away from me. My bedroom window faces their living room window. I am subjected to various kinds of noises day and night. I would like to present information provided by the League for the Hard of Hearing. Noise harms more than our ears. Continued exposure to loud noise will cause hearing loss. Exposure to noise or unwanted sound, however, is far more than just a threat to our ears. William H. Stewart, former U.S. Surgeon General, stated, "Calling noise a nuisance is like calling smog an inconvenience. Noise must be considered a hazard to the health of people everywhere. Studies have correlated noise with physiological changes in sleep, blood pressure, and digestion. Studies have also linked noise with a negative impact on the developing fetus. Noise and sleep. According to Alice Sutter, noise expert, noise is one of the most common forms of sleep disturbance, and when sleep disturbance becomes chronic, adverse health effects are great. Research shows that intermittent and impulsive noise is more disturbing than continuous noise. The Environmental Protection Agency identified an indoor day-night average sound level of 45 decibels equivalent to a nighttime average sound level of 35 dBA to protect against sleeping disturbance. Noise and mental health. We all know that stress created by unwanted sound, even noise that may not be at hazardous levels to our hearing, can make us tense and angry. Consider how irritating the simple dripping of a faucet can be in the middle of the night, let alone more intrusive noises. Studies have found noise to be associated with increased aggression. Although more research is necessary, anecdotal reports to the Noise Center indicate that noise has devastating effects on health. People report that noise interferes with the ability to sleep, eat, and cause a wide range of health problems, which affects the overall quality of life. People not only have a right to peace and quiet, their health depends on it. Unless you have lived under these adverse conditions, you cannot comprehend how this affects your well-being. Regardless of location, every citizen is entitled to quiet enjoyment of their home. Do not sacrifice quality of life for the detrimental fallout of overbuilding. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to voice my concerns. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lemos. Is there anyone else who'd like to address the council during public communication? Seeing none, I'm going to close it and bring it back to the council. This brings us to consent agenda, if you're following along. The consent agenda is for routine items, and we have, looks like, two items on that. The consent this evening, one is the treasurer's report for period of April 13th through 28th, and the second is designating city teams for labor negotiations. Is there any member who'd like to pull an item from consent?
Yeah, Mayor Shields, I'd like to pull item number two.
Okay. Councilmember Ash is pulling item number two. Anyone else? With that, I'd entertain a motion on item three.
I'd like to move approval of consent agenda item number three.
Second.
I have a motion by Councilmember Lieberman, a second by Councilmember Ashton, and this is a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. Item number two, Councilmember Ashton.
Yeah, I had a couple of questions regarding to the checklist there, on a couple of checks there, and I'd like some explanation on it. There's actually no page numbers on these, but I believe it's check number 023525 to the City of Aurora Grandy for $4,432 in regards to Oak Park and El Camino signal. Perhaps I know some city engineers in here tonight. Maybe explain what that specifically in regards to, or maybe that, maybe you can't.
Honorable Mayor, City Council. Arroyo Grande retrofitted the intersection with LEDs. They took out the light bulbs. So this was our share of that intersection.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Ford.
How do we normally split that? Do we?
It's 50-50. Half of it belongs to Arroyo Grande, half of it belongs to Grover Beach.
Thank you.
Okay.
The other question I had, I don't know if it's appropriate to talk this time, is on check number... Boy, the print is small here. 023550 in regards to Martin check over there. Martin, was this something beyond your normal contract, or how many hours are involved here, and what method was used in determining that figure?
I believe the check reflects the set fee of $7,500 plus additional hourly costs for work that was performed in a litigation matter for the city.
Okay. Is there some way possible during closed session that you could probably enlighten me more on what it entailed?
I'm sorry, I don't understand the question.
Question is that I'm totally unaware of this litigation and that and what it's about there, so I just wondered some time during closed session, can you enlighten the council in regard to what it's about?
It's not a secret. It doesn't need to go into closed session. The litigation was City of Atascadero versus City of Grover Beach, and we had a closed session meeting on that on that item.
We did.
I didn't see anything about Atascadero here, and that's what I was wondering.
We did have a closed session on that item. And maybe you guys can talk in private and maybe clarify that.
That's it.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions on this item? Okay. Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion on item two.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Versa, a second by Councilmember Ekbom. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? None. This brings us to regular business on the agenda. If you're following along, this is item number 4, and this is Water and Sewer Atlas Mapping Completion, presentation by City Engineer Gehring.
Honorable Mayor and City Council, good evening. Jim Gehring, City Engineer. I understand that there's a desire for a brief report on the atlases for the city. Suffice to say that you all have a staff report in front of you, and I'll be glad to answer any questions that come up. But the end result has been that we now have 2 atlas books. I'm holding the 2 books in my hands. They're 11 by 17 in color and approximately 65 pages each. One book deals with the water system, and the other deals with the wastewater system. We have an example up on the screen showing the wastewater system atlas in the vicinity of Front Street and Carmelde Lane, and you can see the sewers shown, the Front Street lift station, and the sizes of the various facilities. Next slide, please. And this is a similar view for Ocean View Avenue for the sewers. Next slide, please. And here we have an example of the water system atlas at the city's reservoir site up on Hillcrest, 3 yellow 1.5 million gallon reservoirs and all the piping and drains surrounding those facilities. Next slide, please. And the same thing on Front Street, showing the water main sizes by color and the various facilities. So any questions of the council? Otherwise, I'll step aside.
Any questions of Mr. Gehring at this point? Mayor Pro Tem Versa.
All right. Mr. Gehring, I'm sure glad to see the atlas is completed. The accessibility of the atlases, I'm curious about that. Do you make those atlases available? Anybody wants to view them?
Anyone other than the city would have to pay for that privilege in terms of cost recovery, and we'd certainly go through the community development director before release.
The reason I ask is I know that some communities, particularly in the atmosphere of security that we're living in these days, there some communities are reluctant to just provide that information to anybody because of the information that's there can be useful in interrupting service. That hasn't been a point of discussion around here, I suppose.
Well, it has not been a point of discussion other than I wouldn't release information like that without going through the community development director first.
So that would be a city policy matter as far as you're concerned?
Yes, sir, it would be.
One other question, Jim. Can you reproduce this with both the water and the sewer layered on the same page?
Yes, we can. It takes some manipulation to do that because the wording for each of them on occasion will overlie other wording.
Yeah.
We can also reproduce it at any scale anyone would desire.
I do have reason. One more question. The next step after this, of course, is in preparation for like CIP and other planning purposes for infrastructure. I would assume you're reviewing it for needs and deficiencies in the system and all that. Have you developed that sort of a list of items, something along those lines?
To a degree. It has already been used to compile, for instance, the lengths of 2-inch and 4-inch water mains that need to be upsized to standard size. So to a degree, but not for all of the projects that we're considering as yet.
On a scale of 10, what's your accuracy look like in this stuff? I know some of it's, there's a certain amount of guesswork, right?
There is a certain amount of estimation, at least, because the information comes off of plans prepared oftentimes by others. And all of this infrastructure virtually is underground. Although we had the ability here, uniquely so, to use the city's aerial topography map. And because we knew we would later want to prepare atlases, we did have all of the person hole covers and valve boxes painted white prior to the photograph. And so we were able to actually draw lines between those features on the map, which are quite accurate.
Assuming that the person hole is actually on the line.
That's right. Yeah. And actually, the person hole is not on the line in most cases, but it's always within a foot or so.
Yeah. Thanks, Jim. Job well done.
Are there any other questions before? Are you done with your presentation?
Yes, sir, I am.
Thank you. Nice job. Any other questions? Councilmember Lieberman.
Good job. Okay. Jim, on the
you don't get to leave yet. We have a couple of questions.
The last paragraph before the alternative section of your staff report, you talk about updates.
Yes, sir.
To the atlases. I assume this is digital.
It is digital.
And who's going to be doing the updates, and how often will they occur?
Right now, we're assuming that they would be done annually, and I believe that our office would do that because we hold the digital files. However, should the council decide to use any other firm for that service, it's easily transferable digitally.
Okay. Last question. Updates on an annual basis, is that the norm with most communities?
Well, ideally, you would update it every time a new large project came in. But it's likely to yield to other things that are higher in priority on occasion.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Councilmember Ekbal.
Jim, I know this isn't a glamorous project, but it's certainly a project that is going to benefit all of the city and the residents here. Are these fairly accurate? I'm kind of leading along with Larry here. That could a property owner or could somebody pretty much find where on their individual lot these lines feed into the house? Are these just sketched in, or if it shows right next to the driveway, is it right next to the driveway?
In the case of water services, they're not shown on the mapping, but then the water meter, of course, is on the property, so it's easily traceable on the surface because of that. In the case of sewer laterals, such as is shown on the plan on the screen, those lateral locations were all taken off of plans, and most of those laterals were actually stationed by number on the old 1965 sewer plans, and we transferred them as accurately as we could based upon the as-built 1965 sewer plans. So they should be quite accurate if the 1965 as-built plans are accurate.
Great. Thank you. Good job.
Any other questions? Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
I believe that was just receiving the water atlas and sewer system atlas and giving comments, and we did that. So we're going to move on to the next item on our agenda under regular business, which is item 5. This is transmittal of the Ramona specific plan from the Planning Commission I'm not going to read this entire title because I think it is misleading. Transmittal of the Ramona specific plan from the Planning Commission. And Mr. Raper, could you just make a real brief presentation on that?
Mayor, members of the council, the Planning Commission conducted public hearings in February and April and concluded their public hearings regarding the Ramona specific plan. The plan is ready to present to the City Council under the public hearing process. And what we have provided you are the excerpts from the Planning Commission meeting and all the Planning Commission staff reports received during those two hearings. Staff is requesting of the City Council to select a public hearing date in order that we may advertise the upcoming City Council public hearing regarding this Ramona-specific plan. And staff has provided a couple of alternatives for the City Council's consideration. And what staff is recommending that we have tentatively scheduled June 6th as the public hearing for the circulation element. And if the City Council is willing to consider both the Ramona specific plan and the circulation element under one public hearing, we may do so. And also the City Council may wish to consider planning a two public hearing process. One is receipt of all the information, continuing that public hearing, and let you mull over the information, ask questions of staff, come back at a second public hearing, and present the public hearing or the reports to the City Council for your action, whatever that may be. So that concludes my report.
Thank you, Jake. Before we get started, I just want to basically clarify what it is we are considering this evening. And this particular item, this is only transmittal of the plan. There will be no discussion of this plan this evening, no action other than direction to staff, as Mr. Raper said in his presentation to us. It is merely to identify dates in which we would like to have public hearings. And we will talk about the format of that, and that is all. This is a business item. I know there are some individuals in the audience who would like to address the plan, but I am not going to open this component up to the public this evening. I just want to make sure everyone is aware of that. With that, is there any members on the council who have any comments or questions on this item? Yes.
Mayor Schultz, once again, I have to complain about the poor communication of this plan. I read about it in the paper before I was even notified, but from staff there, that they apparently put in a newspaper article I read that we're going to be talking about this tonight on May 2nd. And then after that article appeared in the paper there, we got a notice from the city manager stating that we will be discussing this on May 2nd there. So, and I know that the writer had that information probably a week and a half prior to us, so I just want to know at what point is the council going to be privy to the same information that the press seems to get out of staff and that. One of the problems I have with this coming up at this time, and his recommendation is that we're going to be in the middle of a budget, and we don't even know where we stand monetarily and that, and as far as the budget goes. I would like to spend some time on this budget, and I would like to see a lot of public input on it and see which way direction we're going there. And to plan this right in the middle of it, two plans that really needs our serious consideration and the public's input on both of them there together like that, I think it does an injustice to both of them. I don't want to cram stuff down people's throats and that. So I think at a more appropriate time, I think they mentioned in there, would have it around July 5th, 2005. That there, but put it in before we even decide on the budget there, it's going to detract from it, and I can't believe that we're going to be able to conscientiously spend the appropriate time on it. I can't expect that, even though we may have special hearings for the budget and that, we can't expect people to show up at every time we call a deal, and they have a right to respond on it, and they also have other things they got to do too. So I would much rather see this put off until after the budget's been adopted. And it may affect how we look at this thing.
Okay. Thank you for those comments. I'm going to respond to one, and then I'm going to give staff an opportunity. Yeah, I recall there was an article that talked about this being considered by the City Council on May 6th, and I was concerned about it. And I had asked that this be processed in this manner, that this plan be not brought forward to this council in such a rushed fashion so that the public would have adequate opportunity to give input. And so the process that staff has put forward, I do endorse. I'm going to let staff answer the issue of budget timing and hearing dates, but this is an accepted process in most jurisdictions in the state of California, and I think it is one way to ensure that the public has ample opportunity to comment on this plan. Now I'm going to allow staff to kind of talk about the budget process and how you came up with the dates of June 6th and July, was that 5th or somewhere thereabouts?
Honorable Mayor, members of the City Council, the plan is to try to get the budget document to the council sometime in May and to schedule budget hearings other than at regular council meeting dates. That would allow you to continue normal business in regular council meetings if you choose to do that. Again, we're suggesting that the council establish a date and time for the public hearing, and that you don't necessarily need to take an action at the first meeting, as the mayor indicated, and it could be continued to a later date and time, theoretically a regular council meeting, but it could even be a special meeting. Those are
certainly there's a lot of different choices the council has about how it could consider something as significant as the Ramona-specific plan as well as the circulation element. At this point, we're suggesting that a tentative date that would work with all of the other business that we would foresee that the council would be involved in May and June could be as early as June 6th. If that doesn't work for the council, then July 5th would be the next date that we would suggest.
So what you're basically saying is that if we decide on June 6th, and I want to kind of backtrack a little bit, on June 6th, what I know I would be expecting is someone to come up and talk about specific plans. What are their purpose? What is the legal authority under which this agency and any other agency in California has authority to do this? And then give highlights of the plan and then allow adequate, more than adequate public input. And based on the level of the comments, we can decide the second date of which to schedule this for an action. Is that, did I summarize that correctly?
That's correct. And you could also take into consideration whether you're going to have a full council for those sessions. It may be that there are council members who have other commitments. And so that would probably be informative for the council to determine whether all five of you, for example, could be there for the hearings.
Thank you. Is there anyone else on the council who has comments on the suggested process and the proposed dates? Mayor Pro Tem Versailles.
Mayor, I have a. I guess my question is in regards to the circulation element. I thought Director Aper suggested as an alternative having one public hearing for both of them. Did I hear that right? Or
to schedule both of them on June 6th, the circulation element and the Ramona-specific plan.
They are two hearings.
There are two separate hearings.
Two separate hearings, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thanks.
Sir.
Just for clarification. I don't have any problem at all in with doing both of them as long as staff is kind of sensitive to how that eats up an awful lot of time. Or I hope so anyway. I hope there's plenty of public comment and discussion around both of those. But I know that there's actually some places where those two proposals kind of touch each other in some way. So I definitely would advocate having two public hearings at the council level. I'd like to have an opportunity to review public comment and all before we have a meeting to look at the results of that. That's just my take on it. Thank you.
Dave, thank you for those comments. Councilmember Ekbal.
Thank you. Larry, I agree with you. I would like to have the two meetings. This Ramona-specific plan certainly has had a lot of public input already, but I agree that now that the plan is out here, written form, people can review it and offer more opinions, and then we can study that. I myself will not be here that week of the 6th of June. The fact that we are televised and recorded and I can watch it any time before the second meeting doesn't, I think I can get the same sense of interest from the public and their issues by reviewing it on TV. So I'm not asking that we postpone that first meeting, but I certainly would like to be part of the decision. And so if it's on two separate meetings, that's my choice.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Lieberman, any comments?
I would mirror Larry's concern about, while I'm very open to both hearings being held on June 6th, I would hope that the other agenda items be very limited in scope on that evening. And then on July 5th, I will be out of town returning late that evening, so perhaps, even pushing it a day to the 6th, I could definitely be there, but I will be unavailable on the 5th.
Okay. So it sounds like what I'm hearing is June 6th is an okay date for just introduction and some education for not just the council but members of the public and in the community. And then we would have to determine a second date to take action after we've received comments and have a chance to look at those. I think the other thing that Bear is saying is, and I think Councilmember Ashton, you touched on this, I mean, if the budget hearings start to run into this date, then we certainly would need to move this and make sure that we are flexible and we deal with the budget as well. So I think hopefully staff has got direction. June 6th, the first meeting will be educational. We will talk about specific plans, and you will bring us all up to speed, and then we will decide on a second date for action. Do you feel like you have adequate direction? Thank you.
Yes, sir.
This brings us to item 6 on the agenda. This is a transportation enhancement grant application. And we will have a staff report by the community
office. Mr. Mayor?
Director. Yes.
Point
Mr.
of information.
Thank you.
You have this under regular business, and I wish to speak on it. Helen McIver.
Why I'm sorry.
No.
What item are you speaking
I'm
on?
I'm speaking on the Ramona plan. Why are we doing this thing in a darn piecemeal approach? I don't understand it. Now, you have the next
McIver,
item coming up.
Just one second. I'm running this meeting, so please.
I'm speaking.
Well, you know what? I would like you to follow protocol.
I did.
There will be an item 6 in which you can bring those comments up. I think anyone who knows me knows that I value.
That's going to be after the fact. The items should be reversed. If you don't wish to do that, you don't wish to hear it, I'm sure.
We're on item 6. This is the Transportation Enhancement Grant application. Brief staff report. I think this is by Director Raper and City Engineer Gehring.
Honorable Mayor, members of the Council, good evening. Jim Gehring, City Engineer. A brief staff report on the Transportation Enhancement Grant issue before you. San Luis Obispo County Government staff has distributed the 2005 Transportation Enhancement Grant application packet to cities in the county, and they're inviting applications in a competitive manner for transportation enhancement projects, individual projects not exceeding $600,000 each. And I would mention that this is a competitive process where COG staff and board will be considering the elements involved in the transportation enhancement as to whether or not they're likely to award the grant. Now, it's occurred to staff that because a number of the improvements that are shown on the proposed Ramona-specific plan could qualify for transportation enhancement grant monies. Not that staff is at this point endorsing or recommending the Ramona plan, but some of those elements could very well qualify for that funding, and COG staff has indicated that it's possible that could be the case. That being the case, what comes to staff's mind is that it's an opportunity to apply for the funding while the council goes through the review process on the Ramona-specific plan. And it may be that a number of the improvements that are shown on this very tentative plan could change, but at a reconnaissance level estimate at least, the $600,000 would likely cover the kinds of improvements that are shown in the bubbled area on the exhibit on the screen, including the angled parking, whether it be conventional angled parking or back-in pull-out angled parking, the pedestrian enhancements including walkways and pavers and so forth, and the bulb outs for traffic calming, and the new sidewalks, curbs and gutters and things of that nature. So the question really to council at this point is whether you want to authorize staff to apply for the $600,000 in grant money, recognizing that the money could be used for the improvements that will ultimately come forth out of the Ramona plan if one comes out, and if not, other improvements that the council would otherwise approve. Those kinds of things could include the bus transfer station, the bus sawtooth handling facilities, the angled parking and bulb outs and so forth. At this point, the alternatives the council would have would be to authorize staff to apply for the 2005 enhancement grant in the amount of $600,000, and at a later time give staff more discrete direction as to what exact types of improvements to actually install, or to provide us some alternate direction. In terms of the fiscal impact, it's estimated that the cost to apply would be in the $4,500 range, and you can see from the staff report there are a number of fund sources that could fund that amount for that purpose. And with that and the request for a brief staff report, I'll simply answer questions, or Mr. Raper can help me on that.
Thank you, Mr. Gehring. Councilmember Ashton.
Yeah, Jim, maybe you just said it, maybe I misunderstood you. For this period, this go-around, there's a total of $600,000 available. That's to all SLOCOG members now?
No, that would be for an individual project. In other words,
so there is more money available then?
It's around $2.4 million total.
Okay. Because they kind of said, well, this is between a date 204 to 210 or something like that, so I couldn't quite figure out if that's spreading it out over X amount of years or what's actually available this time up. One of the problems I have with this, you have to come up with a 12.5 match. Is that correct?
That's right, and it's suggested in the staff report that there are some sources for the match. For instance, the leftover funding from the West Grand Avenue project is an example.
Wouldn't a lot of that redevelopment money that we finally end up putting in on that thing?
You know, I'm actually not qualified to answer that question.
Seems like we went around. I don't think it was with you. It was somebody else in the past there.
City Manager, can you answer that question?
It's correct that there was redevelopment funding in that project. However, the savings in the project kind of cuts across all of the different funding sources in the project. And actually, any of the funding sources would be eligible as matches for this particular project, including the redevelopment agency funding. But it's entirely possible that the $75,000 as a minimum match could be available just from funding sources that are other than those that the city might use for some other purpose or the agency might use for some other purpose.
One of the problems I have in the wording of this, it also said you could fall back on general funds. And it was about 2 years ago or so, I stood before the council presiding at that time, and I believe it was Mayor Arnoldson was up here, and we were talking about getting an extraordinary amount of money to put on our streets, and I held the council to the fact that you had a minimum obligation of $300,000 out of general funds, and I listened to a lot of people up here crying about coming up with an extra $80,000 out of general funds to put on the streets here, and it just seemed like so... casually here, we're willing to throw $75,000 out of the general funds. We don't even know what we may need that $75,000 down the line. We're going to be discussing some matters in regards to the fire department tonight. Apparently, some of our equipment's failing over there. I know they're anticipating, I maybe shouldn't be talking about that now, some raises or some other kind of matters coming up there. I don't think we can commit general fund monies to this as a part of the condition. I could see that struck from the deal. If you got other outside monies left over, that's fine, but I don't see any commitment on general fund money on this.
That's good discussion, and when we get to that point, please bring that up again. We can address that.
And as far as the individual deals and that, I'll wait till the discussion.
Great. Thank you for those questions and comments. Is there anyone else that would like to ask a question? Councilmember Ekbon.
Jake, all these improvements there are providing more parking that's necessary around the park regardless of the improvements on for the E-Station or any of the other specific building projects there. Is that true?
Yes, sir. What I wanted to do is expand the staff report just a bit and just reflect, as we noted in the staff report, that the general plan identifies the central business district as this area. And as part of attachment one, which is excerpts out of the current general plan, talks about trying to create a synergy in the central business district. And the general plan currently identifies and recognizes the transfer station at Ramona Park. And what we see in terms of the opportunity to apply for the transportation enhancement application is an opportunity to provide additional on-street parking for the current activities that we have within the park, also improving our transfer station, for the bus operations that exist today and are likely to continue there for many years. Also, what we see is an opportunity to attach some funding to increase traffic calming, street improvements, as well as improving some sidewalks on 10th Street and Brighton. As everyone knows, that the sidewalks do not exist on the west side of 10th Street along the park. And the transportation enhancement funds and monies could go to those types of improvements as well. So what we were trying to do is illustrate as part of this diagram, since that's the best information that we have, showing the transportation improvements within that area, that the transportation funding could go to causing those public improvements, which will benefit the city. And from a staff perspective, regardless of the city adopting or not adopting the Ramona-specific plan, the opportunities to create the improvements are to the benefit of the city. The amount of funding that remains is about $2.2 million, and that is over, I think, 2005 up to 2009. That's the spread. James Worthley is in the audience tonight, and he can explain that process. However, what I would like to do, just for the council's information and consideration, he's hatched out this area for me in front of the E-Station. And one of the things that we can do, too, is expand the program to include those improvements in front. And the concept is possibly using the private monies that the E-Station people will be utilizing for their improvements as part of the match, in terms of our 12.5% for those improvements. So that's a concept that we could look at as part of this application that is being presented to SLOCOG. One of the other things that we wanted to point out in the resolution is that what we said was these are the types of fundings that we know are available. However, there may be other eligible monies out there. And for instance, today when we were going through the budget, we found some additional monies, LTF monies, for bikeways that we could put into the pot as part of the match. So there's some monies out there, and what we wanted to do is have the flexibility in the resolution to attach any eligible funding that could be utilized as our 12.5% match. The bottom line is if we don't apply, then we don't get the grant. If we don't submit, we don't get to play. As Mr. Gehring indicated, this is a highly competitive application, and we certainly don't want the city of Grover Beach to miss out on this opportunity to cause some public improvements to be funded through that competitive process.
Thank you. One other question.
Yes, sir.
Isn't the staff's responsibility to point out all of the available sources of the matching funds?
That's correct, and that's why we identified the general fund. That's why we identified the redevelopment.
Doesn't mean you're supporting it.
That's correct.
A potential source.
And from a staff perspective, I know the city manager will not want to touch the general fund money. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for those questions. Councilmember Lieberman, did you have any questions?
Yeah, I had a couple of things. Jake, you've talked about the grant process being very competitive. How many other applications do we know are in process right now or are being anticipated?
I know it's going to exceed the $2.2 million, but James is in the audience. Where are you at, James? And he can answer that question.
Members of the council, James Worthley of SLOCOG staff. We're expecting right now 13 to 15 applications, probably totaling around $5.5 million. To get $600,000 will be a windfall. To get a portion of it will be amazing.
Okay. Actually, those are my questions. The rest are comments. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm going to come back to you, Councilmember Ashton. Okay. I'm going to give someone else a chance. No questions? Councilmember Ashton.
Since we have him there, maybe you can explain a few things on your attachment 2.
Up there you have site preparation, and basically it looks like demolishing curbs, gutters, sidewalks, so forth and so forth. This is referring to the block between 9th and 10th there where they propose to put the buses, basically.
That could be part of it, but those types
probably
of things...
Probably be a great part of it, though, wouldn't it?
Well, I'm not sure if it's that total, but maybe... If, Jim, do you know? Do you know where the...
Councilman Ashton, there are some curbs and gutters that are in the wrong location that would have to be demolished to provide enough width for the bus handling facilities, the sawtooth, and the angled parking. So that's what those numbers represent.
Right. Well, that kind of troubles me. We're spending $51,000 to destroy something when there's a lot of places in our city we'd give our IT to have a few curbs and gutters and sidewalks on there. And in exchange there, just to widen it so we can put some more buses there. The other thing, down here on the bottom, you say engineering, $139,000 on engineering. Who's that to go to?
That will be the engineer who is selected to design the improvements.
Is that a competitive deal, or is that going to be a specific person in mind, or what?
It hasn't been decided at this point.
That's all I have right now. We'll come back later.
Great. Thank you. I think since I have the floor, I'd like to make a couple of comments. And
any questions,
and
or am I done?
Questions.
Shall I sit down?
I think you're okay. I just wanted to reiterate what is in fact before this council this evening. This is to preserve an opportunity to apply for funding. It is a competitive bid process, and there is no guarantees that the city will be successful. I think the other thing that I want to make sure that we don't lose sight of is that this application is merely dealing with enhancing existing situations and actually an opportunity to improve Ramona Street and possibly put in some sidewalks along 10th and Brighton around a city park. And I think anyone in this community who continues to say we want to fix streets and we want to upgrade pedestrian paths can certainly see the wisdom in at least trying to preserve this option. So I'm hoping we don't get bogged down in a lot of discussion on the specific plan. As Mr. Raper pointed out correctly, this is something we're going to consider whether the specific plan ultimately passes or fails. I think it is just to preserve that opportunity to use federal dollars on our local streets from a funding source that typically has worked well for the city. I had talked with staff earlier and gave them some of my comments and asked them my questions, so I'm not going to go into that tonight. I know there are members of the public who would like to address this. This is a regular business item, but I would like to open this up and have some comment from the public. And with that, if there's anyone in the audience who would like to address this issue, please come forward and state your name for the record.
Robert Hayes, 281 South 9th Street. I had a question. I was trying to figure out why the diagonal reverse parking was being removed in front of the E station, that whole block of Ramona.
Well, they're not removed. They're not talking about removing it. What, in fact, they're trying to highlight is, are you talking about in front of which one, Robert? I'm sorry.
Between 8th and 9th along Ramona on the north side.
Yeah, what staff was trying to highlight there.
Down there in the red, where he circled the red in. I was trying to figure out why that's a lot of valuable parking that's being taken out.
Well, they're not taking it out. They're not taking it out. You know, in my former life, I actually used to write grant applications, and I've been successful in writing for this particular type of grant. Okay. The issue of match is very important. I think the issue of fair contributions, and I think that's what's been lost, is that the exploration station, which has been the primary proponent for the specific plan, still has a responsibility of putting in their frontage improvements. And if there is a way that we can have them do that and it count toward the match, it's less money the city contributes. It obviously allows us to leverage these federal dollars. And so I think staff was pointing that out as a possible strategy to enhance our chances of receiving this grant.
So the ultimate goal is to put it back in.
The ultimate goal is that it will be put in, it will be more formalized, and hopefully it would work well to serve the uses that are there.
And then just a final comment. The city manager explained to me a few weeks ago how the reverse diagonal parking works. did a good job at it. And I've actually shown that to a lot of my neighbors in our homeowners association. And everybody was really positive about that. They like the idea that it adds a little bit of landscaping, a little bit of a safety. They like the idea that they can back up into the parking space and they're standing on the curb instead of being hit by a fast-moving vehicle in the street. So that's really all I wanted to say. As far as I know, some people don't like the reverse parking because they probably haven't had it explained to them or they haven't seen what a valuable movement it can be. But I like it. People I've talked to like it. And as you know, I'm a big parking advocate, so whenever I see parking spaces being taken out, I get a little worried. But as long as those parking's going later, I'll be fine.
Thank you. Thank you for those comments, Mr. Hayes. Is there anyone else who'd like to address the council?
Liz Dukas, 555 Seabright, council members, honorable mayor. The Ramona-specific plan and the increased bus transfer station are at the wrong place at the wrong time. As a city in our current situation, we do not need it, nor can we support it as a community. The Ramona-specific plan and the bus transfer station serves too few at the detriment of so many. The bus transfer station is situated in the middle of a residential area that absolutely cannot nor should not have to bear the burden of such a public facility. The bus transfer location is putting too much burden on the surrounding businesses and residents. The bus transfer site should be moved to a location that is more able to handle the noise and pollution impacts of such a busy hub. It has never been an ideal location, just arbitrarily designated, and now that the residents and businesses have spoken up about the detrimental impacts of the bus transfer point, it is time to relocate it once and for all and simply maintain our regular bus stop. We have heard over and over again about so many other pressing needs of our city at this time. I cannot fathom why city staff is dedicating and spending so much valuable time to this particular proposal when we have an antiquated land use element and circulation element that are sadly lacking in meeting the city's current and future needs. There are complaints about excessive traffic and unsafe conditions, unsafe roads within our neighborhoods that we request and urge you, our city council members who represent our community as a whole, to make our health and safety your priority. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dukas. Is there anyone else who'd like to address the council?
Ms. Dukas, 467 Ramona Avenue. Members of the council, thank you for the opportunity to just add on to what my sister just said. I was at the workshops for the Ramona-specific plan, and all I want to point out to you tonight is that this bus transfer station was never brought up during those meetings. This is not what the community signed on for, and I agree with my sister that this is quite a big public nuisance of all these buses coming through our small town. They won't even tell us the numbers of buses that come through every day, roaring through our neighborhoods into this small area. If you've ever stood near a bus station, it is a lot of noise and it is a lot of nuisance. So I agree with my sister that this is something that needs to be reined in and looked at more carefully as to what it will cause in our neighborhoods and in our downtown. Even if you want to go and visit this area, visit the park, and hear nothing but buses roaring through all day from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. at night, I just don't think it's something that we would want in our neighborhoods. I love the park. I love that area. It's beautiful. It works now. There's so much appeal to it right now. I just can't fathom it being a large bus transfer station. I don't know what the $600,000 is going to get us. I think it's just a drop in the bucket. And there will be future dollars. This isn't the only batch of $600,000 that will ever, ever come our way. And I know that we're desperate, we're poor, and we need a little bit more money, but I just think we need to look at the bigger picture and what this is bringing to our community. I think there's other pressing needs. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Dukas, too. Is there anyone else who'd like to address the council?
Now, is it my turn?
It is definitely your turn, Helen.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I happened just this afternoon, I got through about 10, 11 pages. I got the little RTA South Calum that was done in 2004. It was finalized in 2004. It was started in 2002 by the Moore Associates. When we're talking about people using the bus, they did 166 valid surveys. They found 82% of 166 people that responded reside in this five-city area on a year-round basis. People that were on vacation were 1.6, sometimes partial people living here for some period of time in the year, 3.17, and no people in the area for business or a day trip, 1.6%, total of 78.3%. Not a lot of riderships. I have spoken with some different people and asked them concerning having the bus in a different area, and they said, that there was a joint powers agreement between Grover Beach, Arroyo Grande, I don't know whether it was Oceano, but also Pismo. Maybe that ought to be looked into, because I don't think we're serving the number of people that are really using the bus, and I think it could be in a different place. Now we're here at the council trying to rush a grant money deadline simply to accommodate a project that has changed the entire scheme of this contentious plan. The fact of trying to apply to SLOCOG to make our own town a bus transit hub should be a part of a public hearing. This going to SLOCOG should be a public hearing so people know what you're going to spend for the Ramona-specific plan. And it has not come out at the Planning Commission because people asked questions and they were told they couldn't get answers, that they weren't there to answer questions. They were just there to take testimony. I hope you won't be the same. Have the folks that are affected by the West Grand Avenue mitigation project been informed of using the money from that area for this downtown project? I understand Mr. Gehring, according to the paper, is going to pay for having the bricks redone. One of the things that I think is very interesting, we're going to spend $75,000 of our money to put some of this stuff into fruition. Why hasn't the West Grand Avenue Bridge off Highway 1, the Dunes Vehicle Access Ramp Street, been fixed? We need to talk about that eyesore. And if we're trying to do the image of our town and we can't even get it fixed, been done for what, a year, 2 years? Yes, about 2 years' time. The fallacy that this nonprofit group dream can't wait for another 5 years to be implemented during another SLOCOG grant period is a specious argument. There's a bad smell about all of the sweetheart deals that have gone on and are going on with this Ramona-specific plan. You have changed the deed, and it says that during the thing, they're to complete their instruction within 24 months of the approval or the rejection of the Ramona-specific plan by the city. The whole thing of it is when this first came forward to the Council, September the 7th of 1999, the South County Learning, they had their own time frame at that time. They had the specific plan already, and their time frame, they couldn't even complete the first 2 years. And now they're wanting 5 to 10 years to complete. Something that astounded me, and I did not catch it at the very beginning. The proposal says extend the Ramona Garden Park complex to include a South County Children's Center, library, learning center, art gallery, and art theaters. That was in 1999. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. MacIver. State your name for the record, please.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. My name is Ron Arnoldson. I have a business at 176 North 9th Street, and I might not be really informed in this, and that's why I'm here to ask a couple questions on this. If we miss this grant process this year, will it be possible next year? Is it? Are we at the end of the five-year grant process? That was one of my questions. The other one is, we've been dealing with the west end of the train station, the parking area there, for so long, it would seem that this would be an appropriate place to ask for these transportation and grant improvements, much more probably timely than what we're talking about with this particular project, due to the fact we haven't dealt with the Ramona specific plan yet. Seems like we're kind of, in my opinion, and you guys have the packet in front of you, so like I said, I don't have all the answers, but it seems like we're doing the cart before the horse. And those are some questions I have. Now, some comments I have due to the fact that we didn't have the availability to talk on the Ramona-specific plan tonight. As a business owner in that downtown central business district, or Central Park, as it will be, I have some concerns with the back-end parking. And I also have concerns that we're putting together a large plan like that, and that as a city entity or a private as a project that is being shared with a nonprofit group, I have concerns that there are no parking facilities in that whole plan. When I, as a business owner, and Midstate Bank and several other businesses in that community, in that area, had to put in off-street parking, I think that's where you should be looking for parking, is off-street. Part of the Ramona-specific plan should incorporate off-street parking. There should be some type of a parking lot incorporated there. Many times we've commented how the community center has three parking spaces. Would you ever let any developer in this community get away with three parking spaces for that type of square footage? Not in your life. And I think it's on your onus to look at some parking within this whole plan. The other thing I want to make a comment on is that the buses come there every day. The four or five people that get off a bus, or three, you know, at the maximum, four or five people get off a bus. It's not being utilized that much, and I don't think at this point there's a real need to alter the way the buses are working there. They're working fine. It's not something that needs to be fixed. I think that our SLOCOG staff has a pot of gold that they think that they're going to try and find someplace, and they're trying to find a use for it. And my particular idea of government is not that they shouldn't be done that way. Just the fact that there's money out there, and you don't try and grab it. If someone else has the availability to use that money, whether it's in Pismo or Grandy, if they have a better use for it, let them use it. And I don't think this particular plan is a good use at this time for that funding source. And I'm not really a proponent of a Ramona-specific plan, but we can't talk about that tonight. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Arnoldson. Please come forward.
Lois Hughes. I live at 1230 Newport Avenue, Grover Beach, and I would like to encourage you to please, anytime the government offers the opportunity to apply for some money, and you know that you can put it into good use, please just go apply for it. That's all we're doing. The odds are probably against us even getting it. But they're saying, here it is, apply. I would think we would be foolish not to apply for that money. We have places where you can use that money, the sidewalks along 10th Street and so on. And I would like to remind people, too, that when I go up to Paso Robles to the wine festival at the big, huge, nice town square that they don't have a parking lot. The Templeton Public Square, they don't have a parking lot in their community town square. They make other arrangements, and we can do the same thing. They have shuttles. So I just wanted to end this a little bit on a positive note, and I would encourage you to please apply for the money. Thank you.
Thank you for those comments.
Tom Murray, I own property adjacent to this project area. Really, it seems to me the arguments are really about the past versus the future. This is asking you to look to the future and see what can be. And this is an important part of the of the whole puzzle, regardless of what happens on these other issues. The fact of the matter is you have an underutilized downtown that needs help. The only way you're really going to get there is to get people out of their cars, on their feet, and gathering down there. If you can bring the people in, then you can develop the businesses and the retail that you're really looking for to help generate your tax base and to and the redevelopment agency. This is one great way to do that. There's the seed money. Let me just say, in terms of funding, I hope you look outside the box. I think there's a lot of potential out there. The parking, if you take a close look at the kind of parking that are being offered, this is going to benefit residences, public facilities, and it's also going to benefit the businesses. And I personally don't see anything wrong with that. Let me just sort of beat a horse that I've been beating for a long time. Take a look at the potential for establishing a parking district. If you're creating an extra 50 or 100, maybe you can allocate 15, 20, 25% to businesses who would like to buy down some of their on-site parking in this general vicinity. And that could also help to provide some of the seed money to do the development. If this works here, then you're establishing a template to use in other areas. Grover Beach has a lot of very large streets that are again, underutilized. So think outside the box a little bit. Grover Beach needs people who are going to think outside the box because you've faced some serious challenges in terms of being landlocked, in terms of what your potentials are. You've got a lot of small lots that create hazards, but difficulties to develop. And so this is a key to many of these kinds of dilemmas that the city faces. So I don't know how a business person would say no to a 12% seed money investment to get back 88% return on their money. That's, man, I'll tell you what, if you offer me a deal like that, I'm taking it, okay? I'm down, because it's a good deal. I guess that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Murray. Is there anyone else who'd like to address the council on this item? Seeing that, I'm going to close this. And before we get into discussion, there's a couple of things. The first thing I want to make sure everyone understands that if there is criticism of this process, I will take responsibility. In response to the paper, and Karen, no offense, don't believe everything that you read. You know, when the article, when it came out and it said that the Planning Commission had taken action on a certain date and the council was going to be taking action 4 days after that, I felt that that was too quick for this body to consider an item to make a deadline. I feel that we need adequate time, as I think everyone up here has expressed, to review this plan. I think people are in the audience and thinking this is a foregone conclusion. Well, it isn't. The other part of this is, by processing it this way, the public, you will have more than one opportunity to comment on this plan and to be heard. And so if that is not acceptable to those who are in here, I will take the responsibility in advocating that process. I think when you realize that we are trying to make sure that you have ample opportunity to comment on this plan and the future of this community, I hope that you will in time see the wisdom in trying to go forward in this manner. Mr. Anderson, I'd like to know if you might be able to just briefly, and I know it's really not the issue before us, but has there been any discussion with Florida regarding the location of the buses now?
Yes, on a number of occasions, Mayor, there have been concerns expressed, historically there have been looks at moving other locations, including the location that Dr. Arnoldson talked about with regard to around the train station in a multimodal sense. Consistently, the response to those different intensive looks has been that this is the best location. One of the reasons for that is that a bus transfer facility generally occurs where people are. And when you're talking about a civic center, a government center, a business center, a recreational center, a cultural center, that's where you would want to locate that kind of activity. On the other hand, the specific plan is not necessarily suggesting that something different happen than if the specific plan weren't there at all. If we weren't even considering the specific plan, that activity already is occurring. So the potential to apply for grant funding to put in an improvement that increases the efficiency of the movements of buses and the ability of people to transfer. All of the South County area transit buses come into this location at the same time. They allow folks to transfer to different buses, and they pulse out onto their various routes. They come back again to the same location and allow folks to transfer. And having that activity, that synergy happening in the same place that is the center of town, is, I think, part of the reason. In order to change that location, it takes a number of different things to happen, including dealing with significant hearing process on the part of South County Area Transit and to deal with the needs of the customers, the riders. And although they may not seem like there are a lot of people, having sat through a number of those kinds of hearings, there are people who feel very strongly about transit because it's their only form of transportation. And I that may be a longer answer than you're looking for. But
yes, it was. I only wanted to ask that question because, as I had said earlier, it's existing, but I believe the issue that Ms. McGuire brought up is, in fact, a valid one, and so that's why I wanted to follow up on the existing location. And if Slorda and SCAT representatives have been contacted, and we can get further into that discussion at a later date. I think the other thing I want to do before we move on to discussions or questions is, Mr. Wordley, if you could address the issue of the funding cycle for this T. I think Mr. Arnoldson asked a question, and if you could give us an answer, that'd be great.
I'd be happy to. The application process for this T amounts to the next 4 years. It's a six-year cycle. We've already programmed 2 years in the past. We have 4 years left in the cycle with $2.4 million remaining. There are other fund sources coming up later this summer and fall that a project such as this would be very competitive for as well. This is just the T, the transportation enhancement dollars, are just the first fund source to apply for or not. There's STIP, State Transportation Improvement Program, funding coming up, although we're not hearing it's going to be a very high amount, if a positive one at all. And there's also regional state highway account funds, which also will be coming. Probably we're going to be programming everything by the December COG meeting, which means applications will probably have to come in by August, September for those other fund grant sources as well. So if you want to apply for the TE, great. If not, fine. If you can direct SAF to, or perhaps come back and consider these other fund sources, maybe it would save you a meeting if that's necessary.
And before you leave, I want to follow that up. Could you just quickly talk about the restrictions on a grant like this? Because I believe one of the Ms. Dukas had talked about taking the funds and applying them elsewhere in the city. So could you kind of talk to the issue of what type of projects this grant funding source could actually be used for?
The transportation enhancement grants, this TE funds, can't be used for rehab, can't be used for maintenance. It is a federal dollar program that is overseen by the state, that is programmed by the region for the locals. There are a lot of eyes on this, and we're going to be scrutinizing the applications and what we can fund, because the state's going to be scrutinizing what we've programmed. And if we program something that they say it doesn't meet what we think the intent is of this program, we're going to lose access to those funds. So we're going to be very careful with what projects and components of those projects are programmed. Examples of what has been programmed in the past with these types of funds: Promenade 1, 2, 3, as well as the Grover Beach Boardwalk, all received these transportation enhancement funds throughout the last 10 years, 14 years actually. In Arroyo Grande, Scenic Creekside Walk, phases 1, 2, 3, those have received these same types of fund grants. Pedestrian improvements, bicycle improvements, the crosswalks that are on Grand Avenue, for instance, those are easy improvements to use the transportation enhancement funds for.
Great, thank you. Yeah, any other members have a question? Mayor Pro Tem Bursaw.
Just a quick one. I managed a project that was TE financed in another jurisdiction, and we used STIP funds for the matching portion of it. Is that a possibility with this project?
If I can clarify your question a little bit, could we use other state-only funds? Right. Yes, STIP, if it's low cost, our state-only funds, RSHA, our state-only funds, USHA, that the city's guaranteed coming up, our state-only funds. Those are also, they can all be used as matching funds. The problem with using STIP specifically is at the time of our ranking for the transportation enhancement funds, the STIP hasn't been programmed yet. So what we really don't want to do is catch ourselves saying, we want to give you this federal dollars, but there's no commitment of local state-only, non-federal dollars out there. Now we've hung ourselves out to dry.
Let me rephrase the question. These other grant opportunities that will perhaps come along later on in the year, the door would still be open to, if we were successful in a grant application there, to apply some of those funds to the matching portion if we were successful in...
Absolutely. And I would expect, if this project does receive TE or not, I'd hope that this project comes forward for RSHA funds.
Great. Thank you.
4 to 6 months.
Yeah, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Councilmember Ashton.
Yes, sir. It's my understanding, just to fill out the application, it's going to cost the city, what, $4,500?
Mm-hmm. I think that's what I heard, right.
Some rough deal there. And I believe it was your statement there that there's a maximum available of $600,000, but you felt that was like a dream to get the full $600,000. In fact, I think it was your words you said that we'd be doing good to get a piece of the action.
Remember there.
So we're probably maybe looking at maybe $150,000 to $200,000.
I think it's going to depend on how strong the other applications are. You've got seven other jurisdictions that are applying for these funds.
Right.
If everybody gets a piece of
eight jurisdictions,
there's $300,000 only to each person. But now that's based on everybody's having an application of the same strength.
Right.
My hope would be to see a mid-range of TE funds be awarded this project through the application somewhere between $200,000 and $400,000, because that $400,000 represents 1/6 of the entire pot. $200,000 represents not even your share. So I'm thinking it's going to be somewhere in between there. And then coming back, as Councilmember Bursaw mentioned, saying, hey, we want to finish this phase and do more. And then you've got your match with the non-federal monies as well.
So, the match then would be based on what you actually receive then, I take it.
Correct. If you only get
12.5%.
Yeah. If you only get $100,000
or $100,000 or whatever on that.
Exactly. But the commitment for a match at some point has to come from this council.
See, the problem I have on this, we're looking on one side, the estimate would be something like just a little under $1 million, $900 some dollars. We're looking for this whole project over there, and we're seeking these funds to help alleviate that, mm-hmm. If we only get, say, $100,000+ or $150,000, it's not going to do very much. For one of the major portions of it is the bus deal there, and we're going to use a big portion of that just to tear out what exists there so we can put in something new. So I got a feeling we're going to come up short. In other words, you can't just tear out those sidewalks and leave it naked there. That means, are we going to have to come up with other city monies to supplement what we're going to get from you on the grant? You see where I'm coming from there? If we're
absolutely
not getting enough grant money there, it may not really complete much.
Absolutely. And when SLOCOG staff recommends programming projects, the last thing we want to do is program a project that can't go anywhere or that does detriment. So we would program it on the basis that it would come back. It'd be held up until we could program matching funds for it in excess of what was needed to make a full project. Completing just one little piece leads towards the applying for more money later on and saying, hey, we want phase two and phase three of up for our city as well, just like Pismo got, just like Arroyo Grande got.
Every time you apply for each other phase, you have to kick in another $4,500?
I'm not sure exactly how the engineer will sketch out what the plan's going to be for each phase, or if it could be an application that will work for the STIP and the RSHA, but typically these applications are all very similar with similar requirements.
Thank you, James. I don't want to get bogged down into those details again. So is there any other discussion, or is someone ready to make a motion on this item?
Mayor, I just had a couple things.
Councilmember Lieberman.
Thank you. This is a tough one for me because I agree, too, that we haven't had workshops. We haven't taken action on a specific plan. It's been sitting around for a very long time. I've also been very vocal in my concern that the East Station make their frontage improvements, and I'm relieved to see that the proposed resolution mentions private funds in the 12.5% match, which I'm assuming would be from the East Station. As far as design parameters, you know, I don't want to get mired down in this. I was in Long Beach over the weekend and pointed out diagonal parking, traditional diagonal parking, to my wife, and she thought it was a great idea. When I asked her what she thought about backing into diagonal parking, she panicked and was telling me about the body damage she was going to cause to other people. I'm not convinced that's the way to go. The transfer station, we've heard over the years that this is a location that routes have been timed, that it doesn't work as well from other locations. I've seen the saw cut transfer station adjacent to San Luis Obispo City Hall. I think it works well, and it improves visibility on the street. I just look at the design of the street width over there on Ramona and just wonder, is the street wide enough to accommodate the transfer station and diagonal parking? But that's for another discussion. I share Chuck's concern about general fund usage for any of this. And I also, frankly, seeing that West Grand fund balance leftovers are being considered for a portion of the match, I'd sure like to see another block of Grand Avenue being developed for to increase the demonstration block. And so when I see potential funding sources from leftovers in that fund, I question saying, do we want to put it here, or do we want to do another block at Grand Avenue, which is much more visible? So let me just make sure I covered all my points here. Competition's obviously very stiff. Mentioned about the East Station paying their way. And the other piece was options for the remaining balance of the Grand Avenue project. Thank you.
Councilmember Eckmo.
Is everybody aware of where the transfer station is in San Luis City? It's dead in the middle of town, right adjacent to the City Hall, across the street from the county courthouse.
In the library.
It's the perfect place to have it. That you want public transit where the public's going. We need... It's where it should be. And I think that people are bogging down here on this grant application with some concerns over the East Station. It's totally separate. This is grant funding to get additional amenities around our park in the center of our town, near our business district, providing a better transfer station for public transit in the middle of town where it belongs. I can't understand why there's any objection to applying for this grant. We're being told, why not get it? Why are you worrying about a 12% fee on something you might not get? And the fact that you're being told several different times that it won't be general fund money, it can come from the grand mitigation money, extra money there, or a later matching grant from another source. You better get the grant before you have to worry about where are you going to match the 12%, which we already know won't come from general fund, will come from specific funding. I thought this would be a 5-minute discussion on this issue. I'm just amazed. And I think it's falling back to a few people that are very disturbed over the East Station and are trying to read into this support for the East Station when it is actually just improvements to our park in the middle of our town. It's grant money. I think they'd be yelling at us if we didn't apply for it. Why are we not trying to get somebody else's money to improve our streets and our sidewalks around our parks? Thank you.
Thank you for those comments. Anyone else? Mayor Pro Tem Bursa.
Councilmember Eckbaum, I think you've identified one of the issues. I think there were commingling thoughts here about the Ramona specific plan and the E-Station and other issues with that. This if we can get a grant proposal going here, and make it in a timely manner, what's being proposed for it to be used on here enhances parking, enhances public safety, provides curbs, gutters, sidewalks, and other amenities for a four-block area, possibly, depending on, of course, the amounts that we can get, as well as improving the transfer station. The issues about the buses, I heard the roaring through our neighborhoods comment, that image bothers me too, and as I think it would any of us. And that's a matter, I think, that needs to be addressed, perhaps in part in the discussion of the specific plan, but further with bus routing and that sort of thing. These proposed improvements here that are being indicated, I think, are improvements to our community generally, with or without the Ramona specific plan, and I'm kind of surprised that as Dave mentioned that there's resistance to it. So one other thing I'd like to mention: former Mayor Arnoldson indicated that he thinks that government handouts of money are we shouldn't be so quick to grab them up, because sometimes that's just a bad public policy. And I have to say, I tend to agree with that. I've seen an awful lot of public money spent just because...
The location of the bus, the whole bus deal on there, it speaks magnitude on the bus issue. That's what it's really all about, and that troubled me. Because this thing's been around there for 15 years, has really done little to the businesses, and I think, if I remember, in the past discussions there, that we're trying to enhance our downtown business, and it's done little to enhance our downtown business. I don't see people pulling into those bus deals and walking down the street and grabbing one of those mattresses leaning up against a building and dragging it back to that bus, or I don't see them coming to buy stamps or things like that. So it hasn't enhanced, I don't think, our downtown businesses. It benefits more our bus people, because they found a location to change over their buses there. I would have been much happier if we just had a bus stop there where people that want to come to our town can get off and get forth, but go to all this rigmarole here to cut in a sawtooth deal so their buses can neatly park along here. And to me, that's what the scary thing. I think that's where the money is going to ultimately go to. I'd much rather see the money go on 10th Street over there. I'd like to see 10th Street where you cut into the park like we did down on 16th Street there and create a parking deal along there. Because for years, the people, the residents, the businesses, every time we have a fair going on at that park there, they intrude on everybody's parking around there. There's where we ought to devote the portion of money, if we're going to do it on anything, is increasing the parking on there, but not just so much taking away some of the space on 10th Street, actually cut into the park maybe 12 feet or 16 feet there and create a system similar to what we have on 16th Street Park. I would be more comfortable if I knew that's where the money's going to, but if it's going to go to just set up a transit system down there where, as has been pointed out, it's been lightly utilized. I'm very much for using a transportation deal, but I can't see it making big changes in our business deal around there. And I think that if you go back and check all the records, that's what everybody kept preaching about this thing, is it's going to enhance our downtown. I got to go along with Councilman Lieberman there. I'd rather see if anything else, I'd rather see the funds used downtown there, where we know it will enhance the downtown business aspect there.
Thank you for those comments, and it's the chair's prerogative. I'd like to make a few comments, and then I'm going to hope someone's ready to make a motion. I think you obviously know that I believe that it's an application. That's what we're talking about. And to preserve that option, we need to move forward on this, and we can work out the details. I would agree with what Councilmember Lieberman was saying earlier about the residual from West Main Street. I understand we can use that as a match, but if there's an opportunity to use that as for planning and designing phase two on West Main,
I want to. Oh, I'm sorry. West Grand. I'm trying to figure out what city am I in. So, you know, I just want to make sure I go on record as saying that, because I believe there are other sources we could use as a match, and I do believe it is responsible for the East Station as they come forward with their frontage improvements, that that be used as part of the match. That I want to make sure that people understand that there is an expectation that they will be held responsible and accountable for their proportionate share of any improvements on Ramona. The only thing that other thing that's really causing me some concern is the back-end parking. I know we're talking about a demonstration project. I must admit, when I first saw the plan, my first reaction was, you know, we need to contain ourselves somehow. And to me, it makes better sense to have a demonstration block on Ramona between 8th and 9th. I'm not sure if you can make it work where the buses are. And then along 10th, I think Councilmember Ashton makes up a good point, is whether it's diagonal or it is perpendicular parking, that maybe we need to be a little more flexible on that, and we get the parking, and once we see how the back-end parking works on Ramona, then maybe we could consider it on the other streets. Those are the only other comments I wanted to make, and I'm hoping that someone is ready to make a motion and move us forward tonight.
Mayor, I'd be happy to make a motion that we adopt a resolution directing staff to apply for the 2005 Transportation Enhancement Grant in the amount of $600,000.
Second.
I've got a motion by Councilman Bragwam, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Versall. Roll call.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Mayor Schultz? Yes. We're going to take a 10-minute break.
I thought that was a slide.
I estimated 30 minutes. Hang on a second, Andy. I'll get you a slide.